Charles' wife is sick, so we want to. And then Don is not with us today. Don and Kathy. Don's not here because Don has been diagnosed with COVID, so he's not doing well. So we're thinking about all those folks today. And Doug has got another insert here about the evangelism program that we're trying to do. So we're going to, since we weren't able to work on that today, we'll probably do that next week. So that summary of Let's Get Started, it would be great to review that, because very soon we are going to get started with this. We are going to get started, and we're going to want everyone's involvement in whatever capacity you can serve in, and trying to reach our friends, neighbors, and our community with the gospel. I think it's going to be a great thing, and I think everyone can offer something in that service. The order of worship today, did I leave anything out that I can think of as far as announcements with sick people and folks that are not here? No? Okay, good. James Miller will lead us in song. James Oliver will have our opening prayer. Myself and Jamie Poe will do the Lord's Supper at the proper time. We're not going to have the scripture reading this morning. Jamie's going to bring our lesson. And I believe, James Oliver, were you asked for closing prayer? I thought so. Okay. James Oliver will have our closing prayer. With no further announcements, let's all sing praises to God.
Our first song selection this morning, To God Be the Glory. This is song 682, if there's anyone following along in our hymnals. To God Be the Glory, song 682.
To God be the glory, great things he had done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offenders who truly obey, that moment may enter the heavenly way. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
The song that we'll sing before we're led in our opening prayer this morning, Close to Thee. This is song 101 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals. Close to Thee, song number 101.
Thou my head.
Let's go to our God. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us to come here to worship you, to sing songs unto you, and hear another portion of your word. And as always, we ask that you guide us and that everything that we do here is pleasing unto you. And we pray for the ones that David has mentioned in the announcements this morning, the ones that are shut in, the ones that are sick and afflicted, the ones that have ailments, the ones in nursing homes and hospitals. And we pray that if it be your will, that you would restore their much wanted health. And again, we always pray for the families that have lost loved ones, and we pray that you would comfort these individuals in their time of need. And we pray that you would help us to have a ready recollection of your plan of salvation, be able to spread the gospel on all four corners of the earth, and be able just to have a one-on-one with a person that wants to learn about you, to learn about the church, and to learn about what they need to do to be added to the church to be saved. And we ask that you be with the ones that are teaching the evangelism program that would help us to be able more readily be able to give somebody that plan of salvation that they need. And we thank you for Jesus that gave his life on the cross and shed his blood for all mankind and shed his blood for the remission of our sins. And we thank you for this great sacrifice that Jesus has given to us. We pray for our government here in this country and all the governments throughout the world that they may keep you in their decision-making process and try to strive for peace and harmony in this world, which we have not seen in a long time. And we pray for the ones that we know and the ones that are in our military and in this great nation, that we ask that you watch over them and keep these individuals safe and bring them back to their families at their appointed time. And we also pray for the first responders and police officers in our county, in our state, and throughout the United States. And we know that they have a tough job, and we pray that you watch over these individuals too. We pray that you be the ones that are traveling this holiday season and that you could take them to their destinations to and fro safely. And we always like the ability that we can travel and go to other people's houses and have fellowship. And this is the way that the gospel can be spread. We ask now that you go with us. We ask that you be with Brother Jamie as he gives us the lesson, that he may have a ready recollection of the lesson that he's prepared for us. And as ones in the audience, let us take this lesson and not be afraid to share it with our friends and our neighbors and the ones that we meet in our everyday walks of life. We ask now that you go with us. Go with us as older ones that can be examples for the younger ones and not be a stumbling block. Let us set a good example for the younger ones, because eventually they're going to be the ones leading the church. We ask you to go with us now to the rest of this service, and all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we commune together, we will sing the song, We Saw Thee Not. This is song 726 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals. We Saw Thee Not, song 726. We'll sing this song, and then we'll share together the Lord's Supper.
We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world a sin and death, nor yet beheld thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. We saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive they know not what they do. But we believe that deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. But we believe that it was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. We gazed not in the open tomb where once thy mangled body lay, nor saw the in that upper room, nor met thee on the open way. But we believe that angels said, why seek the living with the dead? But we believe that angels said, why seek the living with the dead? We walk not with the chosen few who saw thee from the earth ascend, who raised to heaven their wondering view, then low to earth all prostrate been. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies.
Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, Father, this memorial table, Father, this time that we have to remember what Christ did for us, that he came as a man. He came in the flesh and experienced all the things that life has, including its disappointments and its pain and its suffering. Yet, Father, he suffered innocently because he was the innocent Son of God. We're thankful for his example of how he lived, how he brought hope and love to mankind. And Father, we're reminded of his sacrifice. As we eat this bread, we remember that Jesus is God in the flesh and that he didn't have to go through what he did, but he did it for us. Help us, Father, to remember those things when we're tempted to stray, when we're tempted to be lackadaisical about service to you or a prayer life or, Father, just anything that we struggle with, Father. Help us, Father, to care more and to think how much Jesus was on a mission that he saw through to the end and that he faced so many obstacles, yet, Father, he didn't give in to temptation. He didn't give in to sin. He didn't give in to disappointment or complacency. That, Father, he excelled in his life. And he showed us what an excellent human life can be. He showed us what selflessness is, Father, when he offered himself. He offered himself, Father. He didn't have to do it. Man didn't take away his life. He offered it. Man was just the instrument, Father. And we're thankful for your will that has brought him to us. And for your will that has brought your word, that way we can remember Jesus. We can recount those things. We can see what he experienced, Father. Yet we don't have to be in, you know, that allows us this freedom from sin, Father. His sacrifice allows us a freedom from sin. He took the punishment that we deserve. And Father, we're thankful that you didn't leave him in that grave, that he was raised from the dead. And he lives with you eternally. And we hope to see you that day. And it's through his sacrifice that we can have that hope. Thank you now. Bless us as we eat. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about to take this cup. We just pray that we have you on our mind and what you sacrificed that day. As we were studying in Bible class this morning, that God exposes our hearts and he knows what's in our hearts. And as we take this fruit of the vine, I just pray that all of our hearts are clear and our minds are on you, and that we're all thinking about what we can do to further your kingdom, because you gave up so much and it seems like we do so little.
Yeah.
These things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As Christians, we have a privilege to offer back to God an offering of the things he's blessed us with. And so we'll take up a collection from members at this time to further God's will here in this church, in this community. Father, we're thankful for this time of reflection of what you have blessed us with, Father. You blessed us in many things. Many of us have many, many blessings. And even the smallest and poorest of us, Father, have many blessings to be thankful for. Help us, Father, to offer back a portion of what you bless us with. And Father, help us to have the right attitude, the heart of offering, the heart of sacrifice, the cheerful heart, Father, that wants to recognize you, that all good things come from your hand, and that you're the one who's blessed us with all things, that we're merely, the things that we possess are merely on loan, and that we need to think more of how we can use our resources that you provided to further your will and further your kingdom, help our fellow man. Bless us now as we offer this back. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our next song selection, to Canaan's land, I'm on my way. This is song 694 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals this morning. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. 694.
To Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. A rose is blooming there for me, where the soul never dies, and I will spend eternity where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. A love light beams across the home where the soul never dies. It shines to light the shores of home where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. My life will live in deathless sleep where the soul never dies, and everlasting joys I'll reap where the soul never dies. No sad farewell, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul never dies, where there will be no parting hand and the soul dies. No sad farewell, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies.
If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement, that song number is 107. That song title is Come Unto Me. Song number 107, Come Unto Me. That's an encouragement hymn that we will sing after this morning's lesson. Once you have that song marked, the song that we will sing prior to the lesson, Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom. This is song 589 in our hymnals. Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom, song 589.
Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday's glare? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the still and solemn night? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, for a harvest pure and wide? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, all along the fertile way? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, you must reap at the last great day? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done.
Good morning. Skeleton crew here this morning. Right close to half or a little over half from what we normally have. I'm reminded of a time when my dad was preaching in Arkansas and he had a little country church way out in the middle of nowhere. That was before cell phones and whatnot, and it snowed, and they kept having a conversation, should we go? Will anybody be there? And we got there and there was one guy showed up. And Dad asked him, said, what do you want me to do? And he said, well, Mr. Poe, he said, when I go to feed cows and don't but one cow show up, I feed it. On the way out the door, he looked at him and he said, preacher, I didn't say I gave him the whole load. So we're assured. I hope everybody that's out today gets to feeling better. I know I talked to Charles and he made the comment. He said, it feels like it's been a month of Sunday since I've been there. So I know that he wants to get back and be here with us, and it's an encouragement when he's here. When Doug asked me to speak today, I naturally said yes. And it's a sermon that I'm excited about. I've worked on it for some time now. I really wanted to speak on it the last time, but I didn't feel like I had it where I wanted it. And this is an important lesson to me, and I wanted to make sure I had it right. And I'm excited about this lesson. I think it's going to be a great lesson. Two things about it. When I get excited, I talk fast. So if I get to talking too fast, just listen quicker. There's not but about two things I do in my life fast, and that's talk fast and drive fast. And I only talk fast when I get excited. I want to start out reading from Luke chapter 19. Verse 5 through 10, it says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and come down and received him joyfully. But when the crowd, remember Jesus, they all knew Jesus was going to be passing this way, and a big crowd had showed up. So there is the crowd. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. The message today is the conversion process. Today's message isn't just for sinners. It's for the ones that think we're not sinners. It's not just for Christians. It's for non-Christians. The conversion process is for everyone in every walk of their life. What I'm saying is there is a process. We may have been baptized when we were younger, but we didn't go through the conversion process. There's a process that you've got to go through. And just because that you have been coming to church for years doesn't mean that you've gone through that process. What are you saying? Well, if you'll remember over in John chapter 6, down around verse 60, all of the disciples are there together. And Jesus is talking to them and he's telling them about, you know, how he's the bread of life and live forever and eat of this bread. And they say, this is a hard saying. We don't understand. And they start mumbling and grumbling and they all leave but 12. They had walked with Christ for a while, but they hadn't gone through the conversion process. They was in the midst of Christ but didn't understand. And the 12 that was left, he said, are y'all going to stay or are you going to go? And Peter looks at him and says, who would we turn to? For you have the words of life. He says, one of you will. Because he knew that the devil was there. Judas of Iscariot, he said, one of you will. He had been walking and watching Jesus on all the things he did. And he knew that he was the devil. So it is possible that we walk through that door every Sunday night, Wednesday night, but we hadn't been converted. We've been baptized, and a lot of times we contribute that with being converted. That's not what conversion is. Conversion is when you turn to something from something. Conversion is when you give everything. Conversion means that whatever you was doing before you was baptized, you give that up. We'll get into that a little bit more. To look at what conversion looks like, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 2. It says, "We give thanks to God always for you all making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor, love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God. For knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit." Now watch what he says here. "So that you become examples to all of Macedonia and Achaia." When we go through the conversion process and we've truly been converted, we're examples. We're examples of what other people should be. Stay with me here for a second because it gets better. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded, for not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Watch this. Your faith toward God has not gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. He says, y'all have become examples. People see what you are, and that's the example. They know what you was. They see that you've changed, and they know there's something different about you. Yes. Because now you're setting the example. I remember a guy that I worked with at the plant. We called him CB. And during break time and lunch time, he would go to the locker room to eat. Every time. Never sat in the break room with the rest of us. And his locker was right across from mine, and sometimes I'd go back there to get something, and CB would be back there reading. Sometimes it's the Bible, sometimes it was a study book, but that's what he did during break and lunch. And I asked him one time, I said, "CB, why do you always sit in the locker room instead of out there with us?" He said, "Well, Jamie," he said, "you know," he said, "they tell dirty jokes and talk ugly," and he said, "they just talk about a lot of things I don't want to hear." And I remember the day that he was hired in, and James Miller will be able to appreciate this. There's a lot of moving parts in a coal yard, isn't there, James? A lot of things can go wrong. A lot of human error. And we usually worked in teams of two, whether it be operators or belt men, whatever. We usually worked in pairs. And if something ever went wrong, we didn't want it blamed on us, and we'd get together real quick and say, "Here, this is our story," right? Isn't that how they do it out there? And I remember that Dave, I rode to work with Dave, and he said that day CB hired in, he told him, he said, "Now CB," said, "something happens up here on this belt line." I said, "Me and you need to get together and talk about it." CB said, "Dave, if you do something you don't want them to know, don't do it in front of me. I will not lie." He was an example. He was the example of what the rest of us were to be acting like and be doing. Verse 9 says, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." They turned from idols to God. That's the conversion process. You've got to turn from something to something. And the reason that I say that you can be baptized and not be converted is because sometimes we still want to hold on to some of them worldly things, don't we? We don't let everything go. We still hold on to some stuff. It says they turned from idols to God. They had started the conversion process. Well, how do you get rid of it? Well, you get rid of it in prayer, right? When you're converted, you've got to take all those things that hold you back or make you fall short from time. You've got to take those things. You've got to lay them at the feet of Jesus in prayer. And you've got to pray about it. And you've got to ask Him. A lot of y'all here know me, but you haven't known me for years, and you don't know who I am, and you don't know some of the struggles that I've had. And over my life, I've had a bad temper. I can go from perfectly calm to complete gunpowder in the snap of a finger. And I'm not proud of that. And there's been times in my life that I look back on that I wished I could take some of that back. And I wish I'd had a little more patience and a little more control. And I've had to take that area of my life and lay it at the feet of Jesus in prayer. And believe it or not, I've gotten better about it. I'm not perfect. But there's been two or three things happened in my life just here recently that would have sent me into that orbit that you couldn't have gotten me off of for a while, that I never raised my voice. And I'm proud of that, because it didn't used to be that way. Like I said, I still lose it every now and then. I'm not perfect. I'm a work in progress like a lot of others. But I'm saying that as the conversion process is when you take the things that you know make you fall short, that are keeping you from being the example that we looked at here for others to follow, and you take those things, you lay them at his feet, and you pray about it, and you start trying to change. That is part of the conversion process. And as we go through this lesson today, I want you to ask yourself if you have gone through that process. Or are you just one of those that are still in the midst of Christ, but you're not fully bought in yet? Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. We'll start with verse 1. It says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" Now, for context, you've got to go back to around Mark chapter 9, I think. If I'm going by memory here, so if I mess that up, I got a couple of scholars out here that can straighten me up. But Jesus is, he's telling them what's fixing to happen. That he's fixing to be delivered into the hands of some bad men, and he's going to be crucified, and he's going to go to the tomb, and on the third day, he's going to arise. And as he's telling them this, they all start talking about, well, who's going to be the greatest when you're gone? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom when you're not here? Which would make me worry just a little bit about my inner circle, seeing that I had just told them I was going to go give my life so that mankind could live for eternity in heaven, and they're wondering who's going to be the greatest, right? But that's kind of what we would probably do as humans, isn't it? If one person left, well, who's going to be in charge? Who's going to be the big guy? What's what he tells them? He answers that question. "Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven.'" Now, Jesus wasn't telling them to go around and act like little kids, okay? That's not what he's saying here. What do we know about kids? Well, I know that they can be wrestling up here on this stage 1 second and be back there playing a few minutes later, can't they? Kids have the ability to forgive and forget and move on just like that. That's what we're to do as Christians. We're to forgive and forget and move on. I remember, you know, over the years people would say, well, you don't know what he did to me. He wronged me one time in a business meeting, or he wronged me. I don't care. We're to forgive, and we're to get, and we're to move on. Start the conversion process. We can't be converted. We can't be examples as long as we're harboring ill feelings toward one of our brothers or sisters, can we? And that's what he's saying here. Become as this little child. What else do we know about kids? Well, we know that they're humble for the most part, right? You got to be humble. You got to be humble in your service to him. We know that this kid was obedient, because we know that there was at least 13 grown men standing in this group. And we know that children don't like to be in the midst of adults, do they? They'd rather be off with kids playing somewhere. But this kid came. Jesus said, "Come here," and he came. We've got to be obedient. We've got to become as little children. Verse 4 says, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." That's who's going to be the greatest. Whoever can humble himself. Whoever becomes as a little child. Look back at what verse 3 says. Verse 3 says, you look back in verse 3, it says that unless you become as little children, you have no chance at the kingdom of heaven. I think the last time I spoke on Sunday night, I said that might be the greatest, most important, and clearest scripture in the Bible. Sometimes I'll say a show of hands, and I'll say, but you don't have to raise your hand. This time, raise your hand. Show of hands. How many people here today want to go to heaven? How many people, that's where we want to go? How many people here today want to go to hell? Nobody raises their hand. But yet, you'll have people here today that hadn't gone through the conversion process, that may not even be baptized, that might not make a move today. Jesus says that unless you are converted and become as little children, you have no chance at heaven. So you can't say, I want to go to heaven and not go through the conversion process. It just don't work like that. You can't have it both ways. That you've got to not read that scripture to not get it. So if you raised your hand, I'd say you need to start making that process if you hadn't. Start going through that process. Make some changes. You know, me, Doug, David, James, the ones that get up here and teach and preach, we don't do this just to hear ourselves talk, okay? We get up here because we've got a message, and it's an important message, and we want to pierce somebody's heart, right? We want the Lord to use us and the words that we're doing to pierce somebody's heart because we know it's important because of verse 3. That's why we know it's important. We know that we got to do it quickly. We don't have a lot of time. We think we do, don't we? We think we're going to live forever. But just here about 2 weeks ago, one of my best friends in life, I called him. We call each other all the time, nothing special about that. But he answered the phone. I said, what are you into, Doc? And he said, Jamie, I'm in a bad place. I said, what's going on? He said, my 16-year-old niece was in that wreck in Clarksville. And I had read a few days previous about this multi-car pileup in Clarksville and people hurt and injured and dead. And he said, my 16-year-old niece is one of them girls. And said, we've been wrestling for the past couple of days on whether to pull the plug, not pull the plug, what are we going to do? And he said, it's getting to that time. We're going to have to pull the plug today or tomorrow. And he said, could you do me a favor? I said, absolutely. He said, would you go and read John chapter 14 and see if there's something in there I could use to get to her family? He said, because I've been trying to get through to them and I can't. Maybe you can find something. And I said, well, I'll go read it and see what I can find. I can tell you off the top of my head that if she's saved, verse 25 should bring them some comfort. And he said, nope, she's lost. And I said, well, let me see what I can put together. We might be that 16-year-old girl. We might leave here today and be in a car wreck and somebody's talking about pulling the plug, or you might not. We don't know. That 16-year-old girl probably thought she had a lot of years left. I know that she lived with Doc for a little while, and I know that Doc tried to get through to her and he tried to teach her the word, but she thought she had forever. She thought she had a lot longer to go. She didn't. We might have 50 more years, 20 more years. We might not have, but that's why we get up here, and that's why we do these lessons, and it's why we say the things that we say, because we know you need to act quick. Because verse 3 says that unless we do it, we have no chance of entering the kingdom of God. We got to be careful how we treat God, don't we? Huh? We treat God awful at times. We don't come to church the way we should. We don't give the way we should. You know, I mentioned this morning, he gave up everything. Seems like we don't give up much. We don't give our money the way we ought to. We don't give of our time the way that we ought to. But what's the first thing we do when we get in a situation like that little girl's in? We run to God in prayer, don't we? God, bail me out of this. God, help me out. I know I didn't attend last Sunday. I know I didn't give everything I give. I know. God, help me out of this. That's how we treat Him. And I'm going to make you a promise today. There's going to be a time we need Jesus. Because if you read the Scripture says, no man goes to the Father except through me. There's going to be a day that everybody in this building will stand in front of Him and be judged. And we're going to be wanting into the kingdom. And we cannot get there without Him. So we might want to be careful about how we're treating Him while we're here. We need to make sure that we're treating Him the way that he ought to be treated. I know y'all thought that I had forgotten about Zacchaeus, but I have not. Let's turn back and we'll start reading again. It says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. So what do we already know about Zacchaeus? that he was a tax collector and he was rich. What do we know about tax collectors in the Bible time? We know that tax collectors in the Bible time were crooked. They cheated the people out of their money. They were always trying to find some new way to tax them and get more of their money. Kind of sounds like a guy in Illinois, don't it? That's how y'all know I'm not from here. I put the S in Illinois, okay? I don't know why they put the S in there if they didn't want me to use it. But we know that he was rich. We know that he was a tax collector. So he wasn't probably a great person. Verse 3 says, and he sought to see who Jesus was. He's seeking Jesus. Y'all see that there? It says that he sought Jesus. As Christians, we're to be seeking Jesus. We're to be seeking him in Scripture, seeking him in prayer, seeking him in our lives. We're to seek out Jesus. It says that Zacchaeus sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So now we know he's a tax collector. We know he's rich. We know he was short. Which if you ever went to Vacation Bible School, you already knew that, because Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Y'all remember that? So we know he was short. It says, so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. He was seeking out Jesus. He was short. The crowd had gathered. He couldn't see, so he ran in front of the crowd. He was afraid he still couldn't see, so he got up into a tree where he could make sure that he seen Jesus, right? If you go back one chapter, chapter 18, down around verse 18 or 19, it says that it is easier for a rich man, or it's easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than it is a rich man to get into heaven. He's not talking about being rich, okay? Remember, we talked a little bit this morning in Bible class, but Jesus was really good at exposing people's hearts, like he exposed the heart of the devil when he said one of you's not going to stay with. He's really good at exposing people's hearts. If you'll think back, there was a young ruler one time that came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not. And he went through what I call the thou shalt nots. And he says, all these things I have kept from my youth up. And Jesus said, then go and sell all your possessions and follow me. And the story tells us that the young ruler went away sorrowfully, because he didn't want to give up his possessions. See, Jesus wasn't given the plan of salvation. Make no mistake about it. He was not telling him the plan of salvation. So if you go and you keep all the thou shalt nots and sell all your stuff, that don't mean you're going to heaven. What Jesus was doing was exposing his heart. Jesus knew where his heart was at. We're going to find out where Zacchaeus' heart was at. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and come down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, said, look, Lord, I give half of all my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I've restored it fourfold. Zacchaeus just exposed his heart. He wasn't like the young ruler. He said, I'll give half of everything I've got to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anybody by false accusation, I'll restore it fourfold. He's exposing his heart to Jesus. Jesus already knew it, but Jesus is letting everybody else know what's in his heart. Verse 9, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Jesus is salvation. All right? Salvation came to Zacchaeus' house that day because of two things. Zacchaeus exposed his heart and he started the conversion process. And Jesus was there and he said, today salvation has come. Today salvation can come for you. It can come for me. If we're not in an area that we need to be, a place we need to be in our lives, we've not been converted yet, we can do that today. And we can do like Zacchaeus. Salvation can come to our house today. I don't know really what some people's holdups are. You know, for different people, it's different things. But Zacchaeus started that process. And it doesn't matter where you're at in your life. It doesn't matter what you've got going on in your life. You can start that process, can't you?
Yes.
But you got to ask, and we got to start it. Everybody raised their hand here today that they wanted to go to heaven. Nobody raised it that they wanted to go to hell. But yet there's people here today that hadn't done the conversion process. What's your hold up? Well, as some of y'all may know or may not know, I was a preacher's kid for a few years, and also my granddad was a preacher. And so over the years, I've been in a lot of different churches, a lot of different gospel meetings, and I've seen a lot of different things. And I've heard a lot of different reasons about why people won't get saved. But the one that sticks out in my mind the most is when I was a lot younger. There was a man named Jim Dossett. And Jim Dossett attended the North Marshall Church of Christ. And he also had a great big catfishing pond. And my dad loved to fish. My wife loves to fish. I do not. But Jim Dossett probably knew more about the Bible than anybody there. He never missed a service. And this is back in the days when you had gospel meetings that went for a week. Right? He never missed an opportunity to hear the Word or study the Word. And I can remember as a kid sitting in Bible classes and hearing him talk. He knew the Scripture, but he had never gone through the conversion process. And I can remember as a kid, young teen, thinking, what's wrong with him? Well, me and him and my dad all went fishing to the catfish pond one day. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. Because it's an emotional story. Because my dad had a way with words and a way with people. And we were sitting there on that catfish bank, and we'd been fishing for 30 minutes or so. And Dad looked at him and he said, Jim, what's holding you back? Dad had reeled his rod up and laid it down. He said, what's holding you back? And Jim said, it's my mom and dad. He said, my mom and dad never went to church. My mom and dad never was saved. And he said, I just feel like if I take that step, I'm going to be admitting that they didn't either. You know, and he said, I just don't know that I can admit that my mom and dad's in heaven. I've loved them so much. And I can remember sitting there and I'm listening. And my dad told him this story. If you want to turn there, it's Luke 16, starting in verse 15. It says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid up at his gate. Now let me tell y'all, some people are going to tell y'all that this is a parable. I do not believe this to be a parable, and I'll tell you why. Because it uses Lazarus' name. In no parable does he ever use somebody's name, just like the young ruler. He didn't give us a name. Every parable that I can prove is a parable, there's no name. So that's why I believe this to be a true story. So I've heard some commentaries say that it isn't, that it's a parable, but it's a true story. It said, but there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who Jesus laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The rich man is in Hades. He's being tormented by a flame. He's hot. He's miserable. He can see the poor man over in Abraham's bosom afar off. And he says, please send him just to dip his finger in water so he can cool my tongue. He's begging for mercy. Right? What's what Abraham says? He says, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. Verse 26. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. He says, I can't. He says, you're in Hades. It's eternal. Once we're there, we're never getting out of it. And he says, besides that, there's a great gulf fixed between us. And I've got a lot of theories on that for another day. But we're not getting out. When we're there, we're there. Just like that 16-year-old, when she died, where she went, she's there forever, eternity. I know you hear that, but let it sink in, because it means something. It means you're going to be tormented in an eternal flame. And here the rich man is begging for somebody just to cool his finger. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place. He's saying, would you send him to talk to my family? Right? He loves his family. He don't want his family down there being tormented with him. He said, could you please just send him to tell my brothers where I'm at and what I'm going through? Because your family don't want you there either.
That's right.
If they love you, they don't want you there. The rich man's begging for Abraham to send this guy to go get his brothers and try to teach him. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will all repent. He thinks the dead man will have more weight. Verse 31, but he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one that rose from the dead. He said, let them hear Moses and the prophets. I'm telling you that if you've got a family member in Hades today, they're telling you, listen to what Jamie's telling you. Be baptized. Be converted. Start the conversion process, because the last place you want to be is here. My dad got done with that story, and Jim Dossett rode up his fishing pole. He said, let's go. Let's go. If you're here today and you've not been baptized, let's go. Won't you come while we stand and sing?
Oh, heart bowed down with sorrow, eyes that long for sight, there's gladness in believing in Jesus there is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Your souls, his peace.
In a moment, we're going to be dismissed with a prayer. We want to keep in mind those that are on our prayer list. We want to keep doing our part to encourage them and uplift them. For our visitors today, you've been a blessing to us. We were very encouraged by your presence. You've uplifted us, and we hope we've done the same for you. Let's remember we have an opportunity once again, Lord willing, to come together this evening to worship, and it should be our objective to meet and to assemble with the Lord's church and to praise His name in a public way every time we have opportunity. So let's look forward to an opportunity this evening, right here, 5 p.m. Is there anything else that we need to make mention of, Stacy?
No.
I thought you said something there. All right. Blessed with a great lesson this morning. One that really searches our hearts, I believe. And let's remember that when we leave this building. Let's focus on that and what that means to us to be converted. Right. To truly have that conversion of heart where we've given up the things that were part of our lives in the past. If there's nothing further, let's be dismissed in prayer.
Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to come and worship you. We thank you for this great lesson that Jamie gave us this morning, and let us take this lesson and apply it to our lives and be able to share it with our friends and neighbors and the ones that are in this situation. Help us maybe that we can help alleviate their problem. Let's pray again for the ones that David mentioned this morning in our announcements, the ones that are not here, the ones that are sick and afflicted, the ones in nursing homes and hospitals, and the ones that are just not here because of other things. And we pray for the ones that throughout our country that are involved in the areas that they live in the disasters such as the floods in California and the raging storms on the East Coast. And we ask that you give these individuals some comfort. Please let them pull their lives back together after these disasters have happened to them. And we ask that you help us to remember the ones in our lives, the ones that we see every day that are less fortunate than us. I know there's no one here in our congregation here that is in any need. Some of the individuals that are just downright have no home, no clothing, nothing to eat. They're, you know, the ones that are kind of maybe caught up in the caste of society. And we ask that you be these individuals. And we pray that you help us to use the last remaining days of this year to do something for the church, to help out. And we know in 2026, there's a lot of opportunity. There's 365 days to have opportunities to do more things for the church. And we ask that you guide us for that. And let us pray for the church here. Let us pray that the evangelism program that we're enacting upon will with our help and our wants to do this, will bring souls to the church. And we thank you again for the great sacrifice that Jesus gave for mankind, dying on the cross and shedding his blood for us. And let us always remember that the devil is on every corner, waiting to devour those who are weak. Let us turn to God and let us strengthen our ways and try to keep the devil off our lives. We ask now that you go with us, be the ones that are traveling. Always bring us back at the next appointed time. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.